It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is the WEEI Afternoon Show. I'm Christian Arcand. That is Andy Hart here on Boston Sports Original. Nice to have you with us here today. A getaway day as we cruise in the long weekend. And Hart, nice to see you. We've survived another day. It's nice.
We made it. Yep. We're back for another one, and you got your fancy Buffs t-shirt on.
That is correct. I have a lot of Colorado apparel. I only bust it out on special occasions, and of course, big win like that last night over a 1AA team with a very dicey ending. We don't have to spend a lot of time on that, although I do think that as Patriots fans, you should be keeping your eye on those Buffaloes. You should be keeping your eye on some of those guys because you may be looking at them as draft prospects very soon here. And we will start where we just heard with Tommy Curran there, and that is the million-dollar question, which is, all right, Jacoby Brissett is now the quarterback of your New England Patriots. When are we going to see Drake May? When is that going to happen? We've given our guesses on that. You know, I think you're what, week 5 against Miami? That's where you're
Are we talking about starting or are we talking about playing?
I'm talking about starting.
Okay, yeah, week 5.
Week 5.
Give me
all
week
right.
5, baby.
That's when he'll start. I think it's going to be later than that. I think you're not going to see him until, you know, at least double dip, like week 10, maybe after Thanksgiving, something along those lines.
After Thanksgiving?
I think that's when you're going to see it. And I think that Tommy
That feels
Curran,
like forever.
It does. It is going to be forever. It's going to be that kind of season. This is the type. This is what I'm concerned about. Okay, this is why when we have this discussion and we sort of bring up the merits of sticking with Brissett or going with Drake May, I think that their plan is not just to have Brissett out there for a month. I don't think that's the plan. I think the plan is we are going to keep May in bubble wrap. If it's an emergency, if Brissett gets hurt or something, fine, that's different. But what's the plan? When do they plan on putting him out there? I think it's going to be well later on into the season, and I think that that's something that Patriots fans just have to get ready for.
I don't know if what we just heard from Tommy Curran was sourced or total opinion in terms of we'll see Drake May when Jacoby Brissett becomes an impediment to winning.
Or even competing. Right.
Didn't we see in the preseason Jacoby Brissett being an impediment to winning,
mm-hmm.
throwing the ball to the other team, missing what I think are not difficult throws? Alex Van Pelt actually brought one up in a press conference, the Austin Hooper throw that could have been a first down where he just flat out missed it.
Right.
There was the Tyquan Thornton throw in the first game, flat out missed him, underthrew him. Aren't those impediments to winning?
Absolutely.
When you miss open receivers in the NFL, it's hard to throw the ball in the NFL as it is. Right? Like, we've seen it with the Patriots mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. And then when you miss the ones that are there, you're an impediment to winning. You can't miss those. And I personally believe we've already seen an appetizer sampling of Jacoby Brissett being an impediment to winning.
We
so
have.
That's why I think Thanksgiving, to tell me he's going to make it to Thanksgiving without being an impediment to winning. He didn't make it to September without being an impediment to winning.
Winning preseason games, and that's, you're right. I mean, listen, he hasn't looked good in the preseason. I agree with you there. Thanksgiving, by the way, is a week between weeks 11 and week 12. So one of the, that's what I'm making my book on. That's what
11?
If I had a, that's what I think.
11 weeks.
Here's why. If Jacoby Brissett's the impediment to winning, it's going to have to be very, very plain that it's just him, not the offensive line, not wide receivers dropping passes, not the running game not being able to get off the ground. All of those things are going to combine together, I think, to be impediments to winning, and they're not going to pin it on Jacoby Brissett, I don't think. I don't think that's the way this organization's going to go about it. I don't think that they want to put him in that position. I think that they want to keep Drake May hidden for as long as they possibly can. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me right now.
So the way I don't think they will pin it on Jacoby Brissett, we might. I don't know how we'll, but I can already hear the words that I've heard from other coaches. We just felt like we needed a change. We just felt like, you know, Drake was ready to give us a shot out there. This is not a commentary on anything that Jacoby has done or hasn't done. He's worked hard. He's really done everything we've asked of him, even dating back to the spring, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can already hear those comments. But what you just said, there may be other aspects that will be impediments to winning, but you can't change all of them.
No.
Right? You can change the quarterback, and you already have a quarterback in place that people think could be good, including the head coach, because the head coach told us he outperformed the guy you're starting in the summer.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I...
And then they're not playing him, though.
I don't necessarily have a replacement for the whole offensive line, which will probably also be a significant impediment to winning.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they don't want him out there, isn't it? Isn't that a big part of it, because of the offensive line?
Sure.
So if that's not going to get any better, then what the hell's the point? Like, why put him out there if you're so worried about...
Because I'm going to put the quarterback that's better that gives me a better chance.
You are, but they're not, Andy. That's the point. They're not doing it.
They're not right now.
They're not, yes. They're right not now. Starting the year that way despite him already winning the job.
And you said they also, he. He wanted us to say he. He said it was his decision.
He wants us to say he, but I'm not going to. I say they.
Use the right pronoun.
I will say they because
it's very important right now.
I think it's a they decision. I do believe that that is the case. And that's it. I mean, really, this decision to start Brissett now has me very disillusioned about the rest of this year and when it is that they're actually going to, if they even do, go to Drake May. I think it's going to be late in the season if they do it at all. That's, of course, barring an injury. If there's an injury, they're going to have to do what they have to do. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, all right, you've been telegraphing this plan for a while now. You've even done so much as to say, all right, we're going with this guy, even though we know he's not as good. And I think that that's not something you just do for a month. I think that's something that you plan for and you go forward with. And when you get to a point in the season where there's no pressure anymore and maybe the line's gotten a little bit better and gelled a little bit or whatever, then you try May out and you do it in low pressure situations. I think that's what they're going for. I think that's what they want to do. I think that's the plan to bring him along. I hate it, by the way. I don't like this plan. I just think that's what they're trying to tell us. And that's, I think, the way it's going to go.
So it's a soft opening. I think that's what they use in a lot of restaurants.
Soft lap,
even buildings.
That's what it is, yes.
I remember when Gillette opened, actually, they started with a Revs game, so it would be a soft opening. You'd have a smaller crowd. You know, not the Foxborough Stadium days. They did the hard opening where they flushed the toilets all at the same time and screwed everything up or whatever the hell happened there. I hate it. It's the NFL. This isn't Pop Warner. This isn't, oh, he's a sophomore, so we got to work him into the lineup at college or even high school. He's a sophomore. He's not ready. The varsity guys, they're big guys. Varsity football, big. No, it's the National Football League. He was the third pick in the draft. I pay him a lot of money. As you've brought up, people tend to kind of waver. Is it important to have a quarterback on a cheap contract or not? Because if it's important, don't I want him out there sooner rather than later because we're using up a year of the cheap contract?
I think, yes, it is important, and I think, yes, they should put him. That's why I think they should have started him week one and have him be the starter right now so you don't burn a year of his cheapness. Yes, absolutely.
Right. So if that's a factor...
Because look at what these guys are making, $60 million. I mean, it's, you know, it's not even... That's a huge chunk
you
of your salary.
You don't get a redshirt year. You have a year I want to utilize your value because right now Drake May represents value. Now, to be fair, the whole quarterback position represents value because you're not spending a ton because even at $8 million, Jacoby is a palatable number. But I still don't have great arguments for starting Jacoby Brissett. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I said it yesterday. To me, I would dub it an annoyance, not a detriment to the team. But that's also me from my viewpoint of the worst thing that could happen to this team is they win games.
Right.
I have a certain plan. I'm going to have my own plan in place for the next 2 years, how I'm going to watch this team, what I'm looking for, what I'm hoping for, and that doesn't necessarily involve winning games this year, but there's not a lot of downside to me in starting. The whole fear factor thing, I could get hurt. Okay, so don't ever play him.
Anybody could get
Put
hurt.
Put him in bubble wrap.
Any week, anybody can
you know,
get
I'm,
hurt.
That's where I'm with Bill when, you know, Gronk was on special teams. Yeah, okay, he could have gotten hurt not on special teams. There was a freak thing.
I didn't think they need him on special teams.
They didn't.
That was a little,
I'm just
a little
saying,
excessive, but yes.
They play a barbaric sport where they hit each other, so whatever. I can't coddle him forever. I want to see Drake May. Most people want to see Drake May, and we're going to see Jacoby Brissett.
Yes, we are. You know, do you know who Jordan Palmer is?
Yes.
Carson Palmer's brother. He was drafted in 2007. He bounced around the league a little bit, played in the Arena League.
Yeah.
I think he's in the XFL now is what he's doing. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and he had a thought on Jacoby Brissett and why he may actually have some success here with the Patriots, Jackson, if you would.
There's a lot of newness there, Right, you got a new person making personnel decisions. You've got a new head coach. You've got a room full of new, all three quarterbacks are new.
Mm-hmm. Coordinators.
Coordinators.
And what's new is you actually call them coordinators.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I think when you have that much newness and you have a rookie, you know, when I do draft prep, I talk about newness. You're going to go into from college to pro, yes, and then everything's new. And so when you can remove some of that newness, like having somebody who has experience, like somebody who's been in tough spots, I think it's less about Drake May and more about Jacoby Brissett being the right guy right now. If you think about the situations Jacoby Brissett's been in, right? So he comes in, he learns New England's complicated offense early, right out the bat. He goes in Indy when they're in a total transition time. He's the starter in Cleveland in the middle of Deshaun Watson's suspension, where everybody around the building all day long is talking about the quarterback who's also suspended and not playing right now, having to play through that. I just think if I had to pick a backup to be a starter who's been through the most, you know, chaotic situations, I think Jacoby's actually pretty high on that list.
All right. So because of the chaos surrounding this team, because of all the new head coach, the new GM, the new offensive coordinator, the new everything, new quarterback, which Brissett now is going to be starting against, this could be a situation where someone like Jacoby Brissett, who's bounced around the league, who's been in all these weird kind of thing, you know,
he's, yeah, great.
He was right about that Deshaun Watson thing. He came in for Andrew, I guess it was Andrew Luck, or who'd he beat out that one year that he started? I think it was Hoyer. So when he was with the Colts, so he's been around, and he was in the Dolphins that one year with Tua, and
he's been around. Great, he's got played. Experience. Good guy.
So, is there any chance? I guess is there any way that Jacoby Brissett can see any kind of success this year?
On a short term, sure.
At all.
You I read mean, it last. You
short
read
term, whatever.
His
yeah.
stats from Washington a year ago. They were impressive. He had some short term success. I know he brought that up this week, that he felt like he played well in the games that he played there. Could he have short term success? Absolutely. To what end? Like, to what end? What does that mean? Oh, he complete. Oh, great. That's he threw two touchdowns. He didn't throw any interceptions. He completed 17 of 27 passes.
By the way, I like how he said he mastered the Patriots offense. Like, he played in two games, you
right.
know, and he was fine. I don't think he mastered it, but he did.
Yeah,
play.
I'm not even sure they ran the Patriots offense that first game. They right. kind of pulled a rabbit out of their hat out of desperation in that first game. But to what end? Could he have short term success? Sure. To what end? Like, what are we trying to accomplish?
2019, that was the year he played 15 games with the Indianapolis Colts. He threw for 2,942 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. He does that here, I'd be doing a backflip. I mean, that'd be a very nice season for him if he did that here. Wouldn't you agree?
To what end?
To what end? I'm saying that's the end, if that's what he does.
No, but what does that get you?
Well, that gets you, at the very least, something. I mean, it gives you a season.
Something?
It gives you a season that your fans can watch and not be embarrassed to flip.
Guy played the whole year and didn't throw for 3,000 yards. Didn't reach 20 touchdowns.
It's going to be a run heavy.
He didn't
season.
Turn it over. Oh, great! He didn't turn it over. Whee!
Isn't that a big part of this? Aren't we worried he's going to turn it over and there's going to be a terrible offense and they won't be able to? 18 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. A nice ratio.
Yeah, if you're Jason Campbell and you don't turn it over because you don't ever try to make plays, that doesn't interest me. Don't you want to see plays?
Absolutely.
Don't you want to see hope? Like, what does that get you?
I want to see Drake
That's
May.
A terrible passing attack in the National Football League.
Well, this was also 5 years ago, but you're right. It's
That's
not a
terrible
not a good
passing
one.
Attack.
It's not a good one.
So you're going to be entertained? Didn't you tell me, what was the suck, boring, suck? That's boring suck right there.
No, that's not suck. I don't think that's
you're
suck.
You're just fixating on he didn't throw picks.
Right.
Fun suck is better than boring suck.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Indeed
I'm looking
is.
For fun suck, not boring suck. That's boring suck right there. You are fixated, and I think they may be too. I'm not yelling at you. Even though you're the one here, I'm kind of yelling at them as well. That
I'm the intermediary.
Yes. I think they have the same view you have. Oh, wait, we only had 6 picks? Yeah, we'll take it. Did you make any plays? No, you didn't. Did you win any games? Probably not. Were you able to lean on the passing game?
They went 7-8. He went 7-8 as a starter that year.
The worst possible record you could ever have. Now it would be 8-9. That's awesome. You know what that does?
I don't think that's the
Gives
worst possible
Gives us a terrible draft pick.
It would hurt the draft pick, sure.
Yeah.
But I think that if he's able to win that many games with this defense and that offense,
that's the worst season you could ever
see.
You put
Drake May in
the
next year, you assume they're going to be better, wouldn't you? I mean, that's if that's the plan, and you go from four wins to 8-9, then that's a step forward.
I don't know.
That's something that the new quarterback can step in and take to the next level.
I think
that's what they're going for.
Did I miss out on the two starting left tackles that go in the top half of the first round because I'm now picking in the teens?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, okay, so now are we going to have a competition?
Well, who the hell knows who's going to be in the draft? I mean, that's, you know, that's
good
a
players.
Conversation for later on. Sure, there might be a good draft pick later on in the round.
Has there ever been a draft without, like, 8 blue-chip players or 6 blue-chip players? I don't think
there always is, but sure.
Okay.
Listen.
So when you have a top 6 pick, you should get a blue chip player. And when quarterbacks are involved, you can manipulate the situation if you have a quarterback. In your situation, we went 8-9. We didn't see a single play in the passing game because that is a blah 2024 passing game.
It is.
Right? I'm not entertained. And you know what you just ruined? Both my regular season and my offseason. Because now I have a mediocre draft pick and I have no faith that we're going to be able to reload the roster with star talent.
Matt Light was a second round pick.
Tom Brady went in the sixth round. You know,
he was a sixth round pick. Nate Solder was picked in the middle of the first round. He had a nice career here at left tackle. I mean, it's not like that's ridiculous. It's not like that never happens.
I agree. Nice.
Right.
Was he really good?
Do we need an all time left tackle, or do we need someone serviceable? Right now, I'll take someone serviceable.
Serviceable works with the greatest quarterback of all time. I would like somebody that Drake May can lean on to help him become good.
Okay. Was Matt Light good?
He was serviceable.
I think Matt Light was a good tackle.
I think if Matt Light played with Mac Jones, Matt Light would have gotten ripped more. But Matt Light played with Tom Brady, so when he was getting dusted by Jason Taylor and dusted by Dwight Freeney, Tom Brady got rid of the ball quickly, the offense still won, and nobody bitched about how bad Matt Light was. But if Matt Light's with Mac Jones and it's leading to picks and losses, people bitch about Matt Light.
Sure.
That's the reality.
Everyone's going to bitch about Vedarian Lowe, though.
So,
I mean, that's
100%.
A big difference.
And yet you want him back next year when we go 8-9 and don't have the ability to find a better tackle in the draft.
You can find one. I just said you can find one in the middle of the round. It's not impossible.
Mediocrity.
Yes.
I don't want mediocrity.
I'll take that over Vedarian
Lowe. I want elite. I want a franchise left tackle to go my franchise quarterback.
So how about they just lose every year and just have this elite group of draft picks every single year then?
Why would we do that?
Because you just want elite players. That's it. It's the only way to get them.
Hart's plan for 2024 and beyond is success because I have a stud receiver, a stud left tackle, and a stud quarterback, and that's how you win in the National Football League in 2025.
So you got to suck for the next 2 years.
No, just this year.
Why? You just said you needed an elite wide receiver and an elite left tackle.
You know where you get elite wide receivers?
In the first round?
Chut and Ching. I trade something, and I pay the guy $150 million.
Well, the Patriots sure seem like they're in on that.
I'm going to ask that question, too. So in my plan, I want to trade for a wide receiver next spring, the A.J. Brown of next spring, whoever it is, Garrett Wilson, name some elite receiver that falls out of favor with his team, pissing contest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, those guys are all re-signing with their teams anyway. So
if not all of them, every year somebody's traded. There was a couple, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. It happens. A.J. Brown. There's a lot of those guys. And this year, I think it would have happened with Brandon Ayuk if he could have found the right place. If you play Jacoby Brissett and you read those numbers, 2,900 yards, 18 touchdowns, 6 picks, I don't think the wide receiver is giddy to come here. If you play Drake May this year and he sees highlights on his phone, I don't even say sports anymore, he sees highlights on his phone, he's going through social media of Drake May rolling left and hitting a guy down the field for a touchdown, you know what he goes? I'll play with that kid. You want to trade for me and give me $150 million? I'm your man. If you play Jacoby Brissett, you make Drake May a question mark moving forward, and that hurts your ability in my plan to get a wide receiver. How you like them apples?
Ayuk just literally took less money to stay in San Francisco.
You know why?
Well, Drake May's here, isn't he?
He's done nothing. It's nothing but a question mark, which is what it'll be next year if you don't play him. Play him, excite people, and people will want to play with a franchise quarterback who can do the kind of things that I think he has the opportunity to do.
That's all assuming.
You want to play Jacoby Brissett so people continue to look at New England as a place I don't
want
to go.
Jacoby Brissett, Andy.
You just said you'd accept 2,800 yards and 6 picks.
I just said if that's what he did, that would be a much better season than I was expecting.
That's two words
than anybody was expecting, than you were expecting. Anybody
was. Bow ring. That is a bow ring season.
A boring season would be him going out there and sucking and being terrible. All right,
that would be mildly entertaining, I think, in a bad way.
Really, you think so? You don't think fans are going to tune out on
that?
If Brissett goes out there and gives you a decent season,
mashed potatoes, but they're a little lumpy, and you got no butter or gravy.
So you'd rather he goes out and looks like Mac Jones last year? You think that's going to get the fans excited?
No, that'll get Drake May in. I need Drake May in.
Maybe
I'm fixated on one thing and one thing only. A big part of this plan that I have to turn this thing around is number 10.
Unless he comes in and he's Bailey Zappi.
then we're porked.
Yeah, then we're porked. Absolutely. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're going to continue with this conversation here. We'll get to some of your phone calls. The Red Sox had a tough loss last night, nearly getting no hit by the Toronto Blue Jays. They are back in action tonight as they head to Detroit to kick off a series with the Tigers. We'll get into the Red Sox and their tough night. And also, we'll revisit the trade deadline, as ESPN did, to point out some winners and losers. And you might be surprised to see where the Red Sox and some of the teams that they're competing with landed on that scale. We'll get to all of that right after Jack.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jackson tells you what's trending.
Red Sox blanked by the Jays last night.
Bowden Francis?
I don't know. Maybe learn his name. The dude's good.
He is good. He's been killing it lately. He's been no one can hit him. No one can touch him.
He made it through three innings on like 16 pitches or something.
Yeah. His last start, he took a no-hitter into the ninth inning. This one, he went into the sixth with a no-no going. They end up with a shutout. The Red Sox lose and only drop a half game because the Twins were idle last night. The Twins are back at it, I think. Are they playing right now? No, they're not. They're playing later on tonight against the Blue Jays, who we just saw. And we'll see if the Red Sox can make up any ground here as they head to Detroit in early game. So we'll be out of here a little bit earlier to take them on. Now, I was thinking about this the whole season while I was watching that game last night and thinking about if the Red Sox miss the playoffs again, will it get anyone's attention outside of the fan base? Will anybody upstairs, Sam Kennedy, John Henry, Tom Werner, anybody, will that get their attention? Because this seemed like a season that could not only get the fans back on their side, but also, and this is important for ownership, also get them to believe, you know, maybe they don't have to spend. Maybe we don't have to go out blowing money every single offseason. Maybe we don't have to make big deals at the deadline every year. You know, maybe this way of doing things that the Red Sox are onto now, this way of doing business here, is something that can be lived with. We can all handle this so long as they're a scrappy team, they're good enough, and they can get into the playoffs, and who knows, they get to the playoffs, anything can happen. If they miss the playoffs again, if they come undone here in August, which they really already have, and September's not any better, and they end up right out on the outside looking in, is that going to get anyone's attention?
No, not inside the building. Not inside Fenway Park or wherever the hell John Henry is. No one ever tells me whether he actually has an office there. If you like walk up, can you find him?
I've heard that he's been around.
Okay.
But I haven't seen him.
So no, I don't think it will, because I think they now are like I am, and sort of everybody sees reason to believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, it's funny you bring up the way you're posing this, because I was worried that this season was going to do what you just said.
Right.
Like, embolden them to stay the course more so than complement their talent with spending.
Sellings for suckers.
Buying's
for suckers.
I am hopeful that maybe this actually does the opposite and says, well, you can develop young players and they can even be sort of the core. You can have a bunch of them. They can be fun. Fans can buy jerseys. But if you still want to get over the top, you got to spend. You got to go get some high-priced talent. You got to go get an arm so that you're not alternating. Because you lost so much momentum in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had back-to-back games that were very similar. We had a dominant pitcher. One was on your side. The other wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I laugh about it because you go to, like, the ESPN scores page and, like, the scoring summary, and usually that's, like, a scrollable piece of it. The last two nights, it hasn't been scrollable because neither team scored because neither team needed to. The winning team and the losing team couldn't score. But I was worried that they were going to feel validated by success, and that might hinder. Now I think it's almost the perfect storm from a fan perspective. Suckers like me, because I don't think you're buying in as much as I'm buying in, so I'll deem myself a sucker, naivete.
I'm still on the they are dead in the water side of things, yes.
You say it in a bad way. I say they're floundering late, but laying a nice foundation for 2025. but the foundation doesn't work because I want a house that has a foundation, has walls, but also has like a hot tub and a big screen TV in it. Mm-hmm. I don't just want a bare bones house. I want a nice pad, right? I want to be able to have parties. And that's where you go spend. And that's where you have to go get a Juan Soto or you know, I know he's the real cream of the crop sort right. of dream. But there's a reason teams still do that because it works.
Yeah.
Known commodities over a period of time who show high levels of success, that's what I want. That's what I want to, because then I'm, and you have one, well, you don't have one right now.
No, you don't.
Devers is one of your guys.
Yep.
So yeah, no, I'm not worried. I actually think this is perfect because it doesn't validate their cheap ways. It validates you can develop, but now you have to add to your development.
Soto's a free agent. Corbin Burns is a free agent. Alex Bregman, Max Fried. Matt Chapman, Willie Adames, like there's some names out there. Jack Flaherty, like you got some good names yeah. out there that you can go take a run at if you want to. And this offseason, Nathan Eovaldi is another one. I mean, like there's guys out there that you can go and get.
And don't rule out the way they've done it before and trade and extend kind of.
Sure.
Type. You know, a guy that's looking for a deal. My guy, Mason Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go get a closer? Guy throws gas. Okay. You can go trade for Mason Miller and give him a long-term contract. Those are the types of acquisitions. I think that was the word that Craig Breslow used in his first press conference. He said acquisitions like a million times. Those are the type of acquisitions I'm still looking for.
He would say acquisitions, and then Sam Kennedy would come out and say parameters a million times. So, you know, it's a one, six of one,
it's
half
a yin and a yang.
It really is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number as we open up this Red Sox conversation. A lot of you want to talk Patriots, so let's get yeah. to your calls right now. Rick is in Portsmouth, and he leads us off. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, thanks a lot, Arcan.
You got it.
Just checking in around Jacoby Brissett. You know, I really think Coach Mayo has it right. You know, we need to start Jacoby Brissett, give Drake May another year of growth, give him another year of development. He is where the future is. That's the value. And I'm really sick and tired of, you know, the morning show criticizing Coach Mayo.
Yeah.
The guy knows what he's doing.
Does he?
Like,
I'm sick of the morning show, too.
No. And does he know what he's doing? Are we sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about
that.
I mean,
has he proven that?
I have no idea if he knows what he's doing.
I don't think
he knows if he knows what he's doing.
Does he look like he knows what he's doing?
He doesn't sound like he knows what he's doing.
Right.
I mean, maybe he looks like it. I have no idea.
And I'm just trying to be objective.
Once he coaches a game, then you can tell a little bit more than, you know, coaching a preseason game. I think it's different. Like you asked the other day, who's been better so far in their first preseason, the new quarterback or the new coach? And we both agreed it's the new quarterback.
Yeah.
But I also am not necessarily sure that we've seen the full scope of his coaching abilities yet. You know, does that make any sense? Like,
sure.
We know a little bit more about May's abilities because we've seen him out there making throws and things like that. I'd like to see Jerod Mayo coach in a game. I'd like to see his, you know, situational football mind and guys that he goes to and the plays that get called. I know it's not necessarily on offense going to be his department, but, you know, he's the guy in charge. I'd like to see what that looks like first.
And I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm just saying I don't see how right now you can say Jerod Mayo knows what he's doing. It's an unknown.
You can believe that, but
you can hope.
You can hope that he does.
You can have faith.
I hope he does.
I said it to you yesterday. Faith is believing in something you can't see.
Right.
We haven't seen him know what he's doing, quote unquote. He's bungled some things this offseason with his messaging, is I guess the way we're describing it.
Sure.
There's been mistakes along. He's far from perfect, just like I think every coach in their first run of it is going to make mistakes. How often do we see those glaring ones? And it's not just Lockett who did it in Denver, but like, people hire new helpers midseason because they realized, oh, shoot, there's a role I didn't really have.
Oh, Hackett,
covered.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hackett,
sure.
Covered. Did I not? What did I call
it? You said Lockett.
Oh, sorry. Hackett. Because you realize, oh, crap, I didn't foresee this or I need help in this area. It happens all the time. So, and Jerod Mayo has admitted he doesn't know what he doesn't know right now.
Right.
It's and coming.
Offense is going to be something that the offensive people take care of. And
yeah,
he's going to be doing his thing. Exactly.
AVP.
Let's go to Ken and Haverhill. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Ken?
Good, man. I'm just confused about the rebuild. It's been 4 years now. I mean, Cam, Mac, no help, no receivers, no O-line. Thought Belichick was the problem. Kraft doesn't want to spend any money. Mayo's doomed no matter what he does. I mean, you let Judon go, no veteran leadership on either side of the ball. I mean, get ready for a 4-1 season. Drake May needs to start. Jacoby gives us no chance of winning. I mean, on to Cincy week one. Good luck.
All right, thanks for the call, Ken. I guess
four?
He had more. I thought he was done. Four wins?
So they're going to be that good, huh?
The winds are everywhere. All four of them.
I don't think they are. Yeah. There was a lot in that call right there. So this is something that I really do wonder, and I think this is up to individual interpretation. Are they in year five of the rebuild? Year one of the rebuild? Where are we in the rebuild?
I would say the rebuild started with Mac Jones. I consider the Cam Newton year a bridge year to the start of the rebuild, which was the Mac Jones year.
So we're in
and they tried to do that right away.
We're in year four of
this
the rebuild.
This would be year four of that. Yeah, right, because that was 2021.
Is that fair to everybody not named Bill Belichick? He gets 3 years, but you know what I mean? I'm not in year four if I'm Gerard Mayo, Elliott Wolf, Alex Van Pelt.
No, they're not, but the team is, right? I mean, yeah, so
right.
For the Kraft,
but
I guess.
But the angst.
For the organization.
Ken had... he was not happy. You know, this is year four of the rebuild. They suck. Blah, blah. It wasn't all Belichick. Like, no, this is... Elliott Wolf has had the title for how long? When did he get the title?
After the draft, so... You know,
so,
not,
like, four
not
months?
Long,
three
yeah.
months? He's had the title? So don't tell Elliott Wolf he's in year four of his rebuild. He's barely in year one of his rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not yelling at people like they don't have the right to feel that. From a fan's perspective, I watched Tom Brady walk out the door. And I don't feel like it's been very good since.
You don't think so?
You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so
either. I've seen that. I lived that. So I feel like we are much deeper into this rebuild than Elliott Wolf, Gerard Mayo, and Alex Van Pelt probably feel.
It seemed like the rebuild was over after Mac Jones' first year, didn't it?
Oh, contraire, mon frère.
After that first year, it seemed like, all right, they've built it back up. Bill's a genius. Here's the quarterback for the future, and they just got to keep adding things around it, and they'll be right back in the Super Bowl. And instead,
the big bad wolf huffed and puffed, and he blew your house down. Your rebuild was terrible. It was straw.
Matt Patricia, your offensive coordinator, which really, I think, was the biggest domino that fell there, and I think really is what ushered the Belichick era right out of Foxborough. Rightfully so, by the way. I see people texting. Anybody who's like, "Wow, you know, they really miss Bill Belichick." Do they? Do they really miss Bill Belichick?
To do what? Not talk to his quarterback, as Curran said. Not talk to his assistant coaches. Maybe have one eye out the door. Have you heard this theory floated that the reason none of these guys were re-signed already is because Bill was lining up all these free agents to bring with him to Atlanta?
No. I have not heard that.
I just posed a theory.
Makes sense.
Bill was all these guys. So they have decided.
So everyone they re-signed.
Like the Kyle Duggars, the Mike Onwenus, like
Josh Uche, Andre Stevens,
guys
all those
that
guys.
You might be able to see as kind of core players. Maybe he was lining them up to do Parcells. He learned it from Parcells if he was doing it.
Sure.
That was a Parcellian thing. Bring your guys with you,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Curtis Martin.
So yeah. I don't even know what Bill was doing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Bill was doing. So, no, I do not think Bill...
The Falcons are like, phew.
Right. But it was over with Bill. I thought we had accepted that, sort of all parties involved, that it was over with Bill. The time had come.
Yeah. I think we agree on that one for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will continue with your phone calls, and we'll get to this ESPN story here about the winners at the MLB trade deadline. Looking at it now, in hindsight, Red Sox obviously not grading out very well. We'll also hear from from Cutter Crawford, who pitched well, deserved better last night. It's all coming up next. That's Cutter Crawford, who pitched very well last night, one of his better games lately. As he is falling off a bit here in the second half, and he ends up saddled with the loss to fall to 8-12. Although he went 6 2/3 innings, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits with 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. Not good enough as the Blue Jays complete a 2-hit shutout of your Boston Red Sox in a time where all these games are very important. Sox are trying desperately to get back into that wild card, and it just seems like they're going to be right on the outside looking in here, unless things change very, very quickly. And I wanted to bring this up because there is an article on ESPN right now called the MLB Trade Deadline, Winners and Losers 1 Month Later. Now, at the trade deadline, I'll admit, I was happier with what the Red Sox did than I have been in the last couple of years. Because at the very least, they went out and did something, right? They didn't just sort of sit on their hands. They didn't, say, well, it's very hard to make deals because we really want to protect these prospects and blah, 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 blah. They had a big problem in the bullpen. It was a glaring problem from the first game after that, after the All-Star break all the way in until the deadline. And they addressed it, right? I mean, it wasn't any names that I knew necessarily. Sims and Garcia weren't names that were at the top of my list. But Garcia was an 8th-inning guy there in L.A., and Sims had been pitching okay, not great. But sometimes, you strike gold with these guys. And obviously that didn't happen. Both guys are on IL, and both guys have really kind of sucked since they got here. Here's how this goes. This is Bradford Doolittle, who was an ESPN staff writer. And that is a name I enjoy, by the way, Bradford Doolittle.
You know, sounds like a cartoon character.
Is it a job description?
Anyway, here's what he writes. A month ago, we thought we knew who won and lost the deadline, but given the early returns of what actually transpired, how well are those assessments holding up? Two contenders that crushed it is the first one. I'll give you a hint. The Red Sox are not one of these two teams. Aww. The Kansas City Royals and the L.A. Dodgers. The Royals' 2024 season more from surprising to shocking over the past month. They had Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, obviously, the starting pitchers. Without the moves that J.J. Piccolo made at the deadline, it's doubtful the Royals would have gone from a 50-50 shot at the last wild card to a team with legitimate aspirations for a first-round bye. Mike Lorenzen has changed his pitch mix.
Easy.
Tough one there. Almost said three things that could have got us canceled.
Yep.
And posted a sub-2 ERA as a Royal. Paul DeJong has 5 homers and a 968 OPS, and Lucas Erceg has been the single most impactful acquisition of the entire deadline, giving the Royals a lockdown, high-leverage reliever that they had to have. The other team, that'd be the Dodgers. Jack Flaherty, very good over his first 5 Dodgers start. Michael Kopech, former Red Sox, tweaked his arsenal under the Dodgers' guidance, posted a 0.68 ERA with a 19-3 strikeout-to-walk ratio, and entered the saves mix for Dave Roberts. On the flip side, Miguel Vargas started his White Sox career hitting .097 over his first 18 games. Follow this reads as much of an indictment on the White Sox as a slap on the back for the Dodgers, so be it. It's the Dodgers, they were a cinch for the playoffs then, and they remain so. Four contenders that helped themselves. Also, Red Sox not here either. We got the Padres, we got the Yankees, we got the D-backs, and we got the Phillies.
Red Sox at some point?
Not going to read them all. Three contenders with plus WPA that did not have a good deadline. Here's your Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
In there with the Atlanta Braves, the Baltimore Orioles, and your Boston Red Sox. Now, of those three teams, which part of that do the Red Sox not fit into when you look at those three names I just gave you? The Atlanta Braves, the Baltimore Orioles, and the Boston Red Sox. Which of these things is not like the other?
The Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox on the outside of the playoff picture looking in right now, and here is what they wrote about the Red Sox. Another misleading rating alert. Danny Jansen got to do a real-life Bugs Bunny impression. It's kind of funny. Well behind the plate. The James Paxton pickup looked like a non sequitur. There was more of a DFA-related move than a deadline splash. Now he's hurt anyway. The real trouble has been relievers Luis Garcia and Lucas Sims. Garcia appeared to be turning things around, wound up on the IL with elbow inflammation the same day. Sims went on the shelf with a latch strain. Also, let's not lose sight of the fact that Boston's playoff probabilities have dwindled considerably over the past month. And there you have it. I mean, that's really it. There's two contenders that didn't really help themselves, but it hasn't mattered. That's the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins. The Twins didn't do anything. The Astros got Yusei Kikuchi, who's been okay, but not great. I'd say that I'd put Houston ahead of the Red Sox when it comes to deadline acquisitions. Kikuchi was a starting pitcher that they had to pay heavily for, and they certainly are they're definitely making the playoffs at this point, so I'd maybe rank them a little bit higher. But as far as the Red Sox are concerned, there were a 42% chance to make the playoffs. They are now down to 27%, and that may have even gone down since yesterday. So
21%.
What do you think? Down to 21% now. With hindsight being 2020,
feels high.
Red Sox at the deadline. I'm saying at the time, I looked at it and thought, okay, they're doing something. They're not addressing everything that I want, but I'll take what I can get. Beggars can't be choosers, and if you're a Red Sox fan rooting for them at the deadline, you're a beggar. Any new thoughts here on their deadline moves?
So I think I got suckered. I think I got snookered. I think I got bamboozled. And I think somewhere Craig Breslow, because if I remember correctly, now you were doing this whole daily sort of regurgitation of information thing that is sports talk radio then. So I would like to know, like, grades.
When was I doing them?
Yeah, the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. You've been doing it a long time.
Sure.
Grades at the time. What was the, if you could go back in your memory bank, because I know people were grading the trade deadline for the Red Sox.
I think I gave them a C+.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that, were you negative, positive? Were there a lot of like B-, C-pluses kind of things?
I don't remember exactly how it went. I liked the Paxton move more than my co-host did. And he actually pitched well before he got hurt. And, you know, I know he got cut by the Dodgers, but
yeah,
that's the type of guy when he gets cut, you're like, okay, well, this is a nice thing to fall into your lap here because he's been having a good year. So I like that. I didn't care about Jansen, and I didn't know the two relievers, but I liked the fact at the very least that they were addressing the bullpen. So I was like, yeah, C+. They needed to do more. They had the prospect capital absolutely to do more. I was disappointed that they didn't, but I didn't think it was a total waste.
So I believe at the time, because this is kind of how
I felt.
Looking
back now, I give it a D.
Yeah, well, everybody does.
Yeah.
And the injuries are a weird part of that, But I don't even feel like we had a lot of faith in these guys now, Sims and Garcia necessarily taking the injuries out of the equation. But I feel like everybody was excited about that more than they should have based on two things. One, recent history, because they felt like, hey, the guy went out and got some guys. I don't really know who they are, and I'm not even sure they're good. But they got some guys, and everybody in their mind had some, like, checklists. Wow, they probably need a right-handed bat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably need a couple relievers. If they could get an arm, a veteran arm, in the rotation, and he got all those things. Now, none of them are all that impressive, right?
I mean, their right-handed power bat was a backup catcher. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
Definitely not, and but their arm was a maybe fifth starter.
We accepted it, and we took it, and we gave it, like, passing grades, good mm-hmm. passing grades.
Passing, yes.
And I think now you look back and you're like, huh, he bamboozled us. And I think he probably knew it at the time. I bet you Craig Breslow was probably pleasantly surprised by the public perception of the trade deadline. I bet you he was like, huh, people seem happier than I thought they would have been with these moves.
Bar is pretty low around these parts,
yes.
isn't it? Yeah.
And, but now, because of the standings and because of the injuries and because, well, the injury, I mean, three of them are gone.
Right.
Three of the four are gone. They weren't that good to start with.
Nope.
But we were sort of bait and switched, or I don't know, good magician,
mm-hmm.
kind of distracted us in a right. way. And you're like, huh, yeah, that's pretty cool. No, it wasn't cool. And I think I definitely fell victim to that. I definitely fell victim to A, because they did something, and B, they kind of checked off the boxes that most of us had. Even though they weren't great, we believed it was better than it was, when the baseball people were probably like, wow. We didn't really do anything, and people seem to be okay with it.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, it seems like it doesn't take much to impress these folks. After,
no,
after
like
the last
Heim
couple
Bloom's
of
like
years.
That's all you had to do
that's
for those guys to not rip you.
And listen, he had one very good trade deadline. I'd say the Schwarber deadline was a very good trade deadline. You got Schwarber, Robles, and the other guy, Austin Davis, and no one really remembers those relievers that much. They were fine, they were serviceable, but Schwarber ended up being an impact bat in that lineup after the 2 weeks it took him to get back off the injured list, and that was what we sort of looked at with Bloom and thought, okay, he found a little diamond in the rough there. Maybe he'll continue to do that. And then the next year it was Mike Moustakas or whoever it was. And it's like, okay, this is obvious. Not Moustakas, Eric Hosmer. And you're like, okay, this whole thing's over. And the next thing, he was fired the next year. So there you go. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Tony in Bridgewater before the break. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Andy, I told you a month ago you should have your own show, brother, and you two guys are dynamite.
Thanks,
thank you.
What the Red Sox and the Patriots have in common, stop with this mid-season acquisition stuff. It's all garbage. The Red Sox blew it in January, February. The Patriots blew it in March and April, okay? They didn't have the horses. Teoscar Hernandez, he wanted to come here. He was begging them.
Yep.
But he 1 year, $20 million he signed with the Dodgers, okay? But they went after Tyler O'Neill with a right-handed power who's constantly injured for $6 million. They went on the cheap. The Patriots, and this is what you have. This is a result. Stop with this mid-season acquisition, the trades. They blew it in the wintertime. They did not want to pay.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Hard to argue with any of that.
Yeah. I mean,
they had options. They had other ways they could have gone. Other
sure.
teams were bolder. Other teams were more willing to spend. The Red Sox were not, and they ended up with what they ended up with.
But the counter argument is kind of what you said earlier. They played pretty well.
Right.
You know, like they were validating their way of doing business.
Well, they were for about a month at the yeah. end before the All-Star break. I mean, that's
but
really
in
when
totality,
for
you
them.
Were yeah. in the mix.
Yeah. You were a 500 team.
You could have altered the next couple months with the way you hit, regardless of what you did in the offseason, you could have been a playoff team. You could have strengthened yourself as a better candidate to make the playoffs. And in hindsight, you certainly did not do that with any significant moves, any moves that had any legs. They were short-lived. And now you look at it, and we talked about it, the fact that, you know, okay, you're going to lean on the offense to carry you. You're mm-hmm. not going to get Bayo and Hauk to carry you. And then you look at the offense and you're like, Tyler O'Neill not hitting the ball well, save
right.
for the home run the other night, which was sort of meaningless in the grand scheme of things. They were going to win that game either way, but it was nice moment. But they're and you, Devers, you know what my fear is?
Late inning insurance runs, I'll take that no matter what. It's not like they won by a lot.
No, know? But they were going to win either way.
Right.
The way it played out, you didn't really need those runs.
Mm-hmm.
Devers continues to miss time. Now, he's supposedly going to DH tomorrow, I believe.
Yep.
You know, my concern there is, and when the season falls out, like, if you fall a couple games back, let's say they lose a couple more, do you get to the point where it's like, Why don't we just hang Devers up? Why are we pushing it here? He's got two short.
I think that's almost a certainty if they fall 5 or 6 games out. Yeah.
With some of these pitchers that are already past their innings marks, is there a chance they start saying, well, why are we going to waste bullets in that gun?
Absolutely. Except they don't have anybody to call up and pitch is the problem. You know,
I'm sure they
can
find somebody.
Maybe. And we'll see. And it's not like how it used to be when you just call up everybody and you have this big long, you know, in September and you have this huge roster.
But if you put all these guys on the, you know, arm soreness, IL, arm soreness, IL, shoulder soreness, IL, like you can finagle things at this point. And that's my concern.
Get ready for Bailey Horn.
Because as much as I say I don't think they're going to fall apart, that's how they fall apart. If they shut Devers and a couple pitchers down, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we waved the white flag.
Yep.
Season's over.
And the season's over. Exactly. That's what we saw last year in September. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We will resume our Patriots conversation when we come back and pose the question. What if Drake May comes in and he's not any better than Jacoby Brissett? We'll ask that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.